Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. This message is going to concern our individual priesthood in Christ, and also to beware lest any man spoil us through philosophy, vain deceit, or any kind of deception or word or vision that would seek to lead us and yet could be a tool of the enemy to mislead us. We see in Colossians chapter 2, one of the texts we're going to look at today, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ our Lord, who bought us with His blood. We are redeemed, regenerated, and the temples of the Holy Ghost, the very ambassadors of Christ, being made new creatures in Christ, and old things having passed away, and all things have become new. We are raised up in Christ. We are made alive who were once dead in our trespasses and sin. And the Bible has several warnings for us concerning those who would beguile and entice us, Colossians 2. I can't overemphasize the importance of learning the book of Colossians. The first two chapters are absolutely monumental. By the way, we have a category on safeguardyoursoul.com on Colossians, the book of Colossians. We have numerous post and podcast on this fabulous book called Colossians, and we're warned by the Apostle Paul, who of course was anointed by the Holy Spirit and led by Him, to pen these words to the Colossians and to us about those, any man that would beguile us with enticing words. Now, in a moment, as we close this message, we're going to talk a little bit about the younger prophet. He was a man of God, quote unquote, who was later, and he did things for God that were definitely of the Lord, obviously, and ministry work that glorified God. And then later he disobeyed God and was eaten by a lion. We're going to review that here in just a moment. But notice the warning here, Colossians 2:4, that we're not to allow any man to beguile us with enticing words. It cannot be underscored, especially in this last hour before our Lord's return, how important it is for the believer, you and I, to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. How about Galatians 5:16? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Each and every one of us is either walking in the flesh or the Spirit today. And don't you know, according to His Word, God would be calling us to starve the flesh and feed the Spirit. Then Paul here in Colossians 2 talks about the steadfastness of the faith of these Colossian believers and exhorts them whom Jesus saved, verse 7, to be rooted and built up in Him. We're to be ever more rooted and built up and established in the faith, as you have been taught, that is, from the Word of God, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. There's joy, there's thanksgiving in the true disciple. No matter what's going on, he's able to say with beloved Job, though God allow me to be slain, or though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Then he warns in verse 8, the apostle, he says, beware lest any man. But wait a minute, brother, he's a prophet, he's a watchman, he's a elder, he's a bishop. No, none of that matters. In fact, anybody touting titles, they're calling themselves a prophet or an apostle or bishop, and in my estimation, that's a big old red flag. That right there violates what Jesus taught in Matthew 20 and in Matthew 23. Don't call any man your father. You have one Lord and you're all brethren, he said, Matthew 23:8-12. By the way, we do have at least a couple of posts and probably podcasts. If you just put in the word title on the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, we try to thoroughly address what the Bible says concerning titles. Beware lest any man, notice any man, that's me or anybody else, spoil you or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit. There covers psychology, doesn't it? Philosophy and vain deceit. By the way, you can't mix psychology and the Bible. Anybody that's trying to do that is just like the snake, Satan, in the Garden of Eden. He is an absolute false prophet. Well, I'm a Christian counselor. Listen, we don't need your counsel. We need the Word of God, and we have the Bible, the King James Bible. So why do I even need to bother to pay you when I've got the counsel of God, which is the very thoughts of his heart? Psalm 33:11. The counsel, the written word of God, is the very thoughts of the Lord's heart. So I have issue with people claiming to be Christian going to find a counselor they're going to pay. You need to just get with, if you're a sister, get with a grounded, born-again, spirit-filled sister who holds the word of God as the final divine authority, and go have coffee with her. Go sit down with her. Tell her you need prayer. We all need prayer and help in our walk with Jesus. That's why we have fellowship. God has provided the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ for everything. Did you hear that? For everything the believer is ever going to need. Boom. Think about it. Let that foundation be laid in your life so you're not looking to somebody that's supposedly a Christian counselor. What a snare and a deception that is. We're not to be deceived by the philosophy of the deceivers working in the body of Christ, in the vain deceit, which is after the tradition of men, he says, after the rudiments or the thinking of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that's in Christ, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. That's verse 10. So I want you to read Colossians, the book of Colossians, thoroughly. Perhaps read it several times through. Remember, saints, Jesus or his apostles never sent anyone to get psychobabbled by any false counselor. They never sent anyone to the drugstore, Jerusalem drugstore or anything, or Galilee drugstore. Man's therapy and psychobabble is laughably insufficient and has never once gotten to the root of the issues of man's core dilemma, which is sin. And only Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners, can solve and get to the root and make men whole. Drugs and psychobabble are laughable, mere band-aids to rob unbelievers, gullible dupes of their money. They're making merchandise of you. I've seen it over and over and over. And after being saved in my Christian life, people that just had to go to a counselor, they didn't want to fast, pray, and seek God in the Word, and they are departed from the Lord long ago. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. That's what Peter told the man in Acts 9:34. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Say it with me. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Now, who is it that can make a man or a woman whole? It's only the maker of that man or woman, and that's Jesus Christ. Paul said that he prayed that the believers would be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. In Mark chapter 5, we see the story of how Jesus made a man whole. He sat at Jesus' feet in his right mind. Who's the greatest psychologist with a capital P? That would be Christ, if we could even call him that. That may be a little sacrilegious, but I think you get my point. We are to look unto Jesus, saints, the author and finisher of our faith. Where is your faith? Jesus asked. Luke 8:25. Only one can make us whole, the one who made us and died and rose again to redeem us, saints. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to be established, rooted and grounded, as we read in Colossians 2, evermore rooted and grounded in Christ. And that comes through a study, a daily personal study of the Word of God, seeking His face every day and being rooted and grounded in the Word. He is the Word, and He is going to be manifested in your life as you seek His face and you pour over the Word of God. You fill your mind and heart with the Word of God, and you get up from that prayer time and that study of the Word, and you march down that narrow path the whole day, walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Being raised up out of that dead and buried posture, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ and God, and you're raised up by the Holy Ghost and led by Him. We're talking about being rooted and grounded in Christ so that we're not deceived. And perhaps we need an identity check, an identity recalc or something, or to revisit our real identity. Think about it. You're not a church member of some local church. I mean, how many real local churches that meet in a building anymore or anything? I mean, they're all apostate. Virtually all of them. And you're part of a country club, basically. It's run for money. They're making merchandise of you. Somebody might say, what are you talking about? I got a good... Really? Are you in the Word every day? Are you winning anybody to Jesus? Are you walking in the Spirit and helping the body, the members of the body of Christ, grow around you? If you're like about 99.9% of good church members, none of that. You're doing none of that. All you are is a part of a country club that pays your dues. You're not being established in the faith. You're not memorizing Scripture and ministering. So your identity's in Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You're not going to learn these biblical truths in these fake churches who preach a fake Jesus, have a fake pastor, and use fake Bibles. It's fake fellowship. They don't even use the King James Bible. What does that tell you? So you're not a member of a local church. That's not your identity. Stop it. Church membership, as it's perpetrated by frauds today, is absolutely not biblical. And what they're doing, that Satan has convinced them and they passed it along to the different generations, and now they got you as their church member. There's something happened spiritually there when you covenant or contract with them. First of all, you're coming up under the 501c3, which is an absolute fraud. You can look it up on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just look up 501. Just punch that in the search box. Also, we have a message on spiritual identity theft. It's a podcast. Just look up identity or theft, any of those words. It'll bring it right up. You see, friend, again, you're a born-again, blood-bought son or daughter of the King of all kings and a member of the whole universal body of Christ. You were bought with Christ's blood, and you belong to Him and the Father, and not some man's ministry organization or circus called church. The Bible says you are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. You are the child of one Christ, the nail-scarred risen Savior. He is your identity. So in this message today, there's a danger of the Nicolaitans that are all over social media that are trying to bring you up under their ministry and get you to follow them. Listen, you don't need me and this ministry. You need Jesus. You don't need any man. It's very important to fellowship, but we got to watch and discern who we're really fellowship with and watch their motives. We will know each other by our fruits, right? You are not obligated, beloved of God, to believe any man's scenario, opinion, supposed intel, insight that they may boast, or their resume, or words and dreams, claiming to be watchmen, self-proclaimed watchmen, have deceive many. Putting that title on oneself can be a dangerous endeavor, in my estimation. In fact, the words watchmen or watchmen, plural, appear nowhere in the New Testament canon. That should be interesting to meditate upon. When someone says things like, well, the Lord showed me, this should be a big red flag right away. Instead of saying the Bible actually says, and in quoting and reading the Bible together, pointing everybody you influence to the written word of God, which is the final divine authority of God forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and he will not alter anything that has come out of his mouth. That is going to be Psalm chapter 119, which also says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Also verse 89 I quoted. And also, I believe it's Psalm 89:34, speaking of the unchanging word of God, 89:34. "My covenant will I not break, nor alter," that means to change, "the thing that is going out of my mouth." Isn't it a blessing to have the Holy Scriptures tangible to us so that we're not deceived? That's why we have them, so we're not deceived and beguiled by any man and spoiled or ruined, as we read earlier, the warning in Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10, because we're complete in Christ alone. So anytime you hear somebody say or type out that the Lord showed me, if you keep an eye on some of these videos and these social media platforms, these prophetic peddlers always have to have this word. They get addicted to the attention they get, and they're not crucified with Christ. Their hearts are not circumcised. Perhaps they were saved in the past, but they're off course. They have swerved, as Paul said, and departed from the faith. And now they're using their platform to attract people to listen to their dreams, their words, their vision. "The Lord showed me." We got to be careful, because the Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." We better be careful, unless we're saying, "Thus saith the Lord," because we're reading directly from Scripture. We'd be wise never to say, "The Lord showed me." So instead of tracking all these things through the word, these people that I'm talking about who claim the Lord's showing them this and that, they are attributing things to themselves, which is highly subjective at best. And listen, we have the more sure word of prophecy. Read 2 Peter 1, whatever you do, and listen to what God is saying there. Because what he is saying is that the written word of God, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is more divinely authoritative than the actual literal voice of the Father. God the Father speaking from heaven, saying that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Check it out for yourself. I hope that whets your appetite. Quote, "The more sure word of prophecy and the most sure and divine authority is the written word of God, much less some man claiming that God's shown him this or that." You don't need any man, as we're going to read here in a minute in 1 John 2, to lead and guide you. Christ died to save you, and you're his. You don't see little children walking around holding the hand of another parent, do you? Are you serious? Mom and daddy are holding that baby's hand. If they're not holding them, if they're small enough to hold them, they're not going to let somebody else lead that child. They don't know who that is. Your soul belongs to the one who came and died to save you, beloved. Beware, because once you are snared, you are seduced and snared. Once you buy into or bite into the idea that this person who's saying they're a watchman or the Lord is showing me this or that and promising you that they are hearing from God, then you're entrapped. See, the Bible says, "Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." In fact, we got a new podcast on that one. You ought to look that one up. "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Just put in any part of that. Just put in bondage. It'll come right up. In the search box, safeguardyoursoul.com. By the way, let me stop to say this. Thank the Lord and thank you for those that are praying for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. Many, many are being reached all over the world from the website, and 9 to 10, 11,000 per day from all over the world while we're sleeping in the Western world. They're on Safeguard Your Soul. It's been built and it's added to every day, rich biblical content to feed anybody God directs to come on the site. And we've got over 500,000 to date, well over 500,000 downloads on the podcast, and those are coming from all over the world. And by the way, that doesn't even count the people that are listening to the podcast on Safeguard Your Soul. That's a combined effort of Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, etc., all the major and minor. And you can add and follow the podcast on any platform. It's Safeguard Your Soul. Just put in Safeguard Your Soul, no spaces, and it'll come right up. And by the way, make sure you spell guard, G-U-A-R-T. It's easy to put the A first, right? The poor are being fed in the spirit and many in their stomachs. And we continue nearly daily. We're dropping the scripture-rich books, namely the Authentic Disciple of Jesus book, the Moments with Our Master. We have flooded the J6ers with them. We have received letters back from the J6ers. If you just put J6 in the search box on Safeguard, you can read some of them, and praise God, they're going to be released soon. And they're unjustly incarcerated, as many are today in America and have been for the last few decades. We have a corrupt government in America, and may the curse of the Lord, while I'm at it, be upon every evildoer that's operating behind the black robe, behind the badge, if you will. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. He cannot escape it. She cannot escape it. Proverbs 3:33. So we need to pray for our country and the leaders. That's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, etc. So thank God and thank you for praying and supplying. Saints, we run on that fuel. People are being ministered to in Mexico every day. Yesterday, I began ministering to a Satanist. This is the nicest Satanist I've ever met. He was a Satanist. I mean, he told me right away. I just kept smiling and ministering the truth to him, and then I went right in for the jugular, baby, because if you're going to manifest the devil, this is going to be when it is. I told him in Spanish that the precious blood of Jesus was shed on that cross to wash away all of his sins. There's no way you can explain how nice the Mexican people are. Even the Satanists are nice. Many of you minister, most of you, and so you know exactly how odd that is. And everybody gets a Jesus tract. We had to get the second printing of them now. So they're going out every day. But they're not just being passed out. People are being preached to the gospel. You're never going to find people that more readily receive the gospel than these hungry, precious people here. So thank God. Thank you. So we're rolling here on this message. Remember, 2 Timothy 2:19, for of whom a man is overcome, that comes by lies and deception. They set the bait. They entice you. That's a Bible word we just read in Colossians 2. They seduce you. Another Bible word, 1 John 2:24, to come up under their headship, to follow them, to listen to them, because after all, the Lord is showing them something. You don't need their word, though. You got the word, so you don't need their word. I'm not impressed with anybody's word, vision, or dream. Are you? When you get impressed with the Almighty, you're not going to be impressed with any man or woman's supposed word from God. See, when you read the Bible, the author is present with you. You don't have to check to see if it's truth. It's in between Genesis 1 and Revelation 22. You know, and you can say with Paul the Apostle, let God be true and every man a liar, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, and thorough, mature, and furnished. Do you have the furniture of God's word in your heart? Unto every good work. Hallelujah. I don't like having to sort through anybody's word anyway. I got too much to do. What about you? Oh, well, let's see. I've got to listen to this person 1 hour long supposed to dream and waste all that time and then have to go through and rack my brain with scripture, figuring out if they're telling the truth or not. Forget it. Forget it. Just read the Bible where you know it's God's word. So for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought into bondage. These people bait you. Don't take the bait. When Jesus died and rose again from the dead, he sent the Holy Ghost of God to dwell in every born-again, regenerated, blood-washed saint. And he says this in 1 John 2:2, the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, but you have an unction, an anointing, that's the Holy Spirit, from the Holy One, and you know all things. Does that mean you're all-knowing? No, God is, and you're walking with Him. You're treading down that narrow way that leads to eternal glory, walking in the Word and the Spirit, and you know all the things that pertain unto life and godliness that God is showing you and leading you with out of His Word and by His Spirit. You got everything you need. Jesus didn't do a half work. He did a whole work. His salvation is complete. It is finished. And you have all things that pertain unto life and godliness, where? In the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord who saved you. That's in the Word. What a blessing. That also is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. All things, not some, that pertain unto life and godliness, being godly in this life, are found in what? The Word of God, the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord given to us in the Bible. So being that the Holy Ghost, as we just read in 1 John 2:20, is resident in every born-again saint, quote, you can know all things. You know all things, 1 John 2:20, because the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you. You're not looking to man. You'll grieve the Holy Spirit if you look to man. You're looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. He saved you, and as you walk by faith to the end of your life, He is completing and continuing the good work He began in you. You're working out yourself. You're not working for it. He already did that. Perfectly paid for it. You are walking out your salvation with fear and trembling, and God is working in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So you know all things, according to 1 John 2:20, that concerned your life in Christ by being led by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Notice 1 John 2, beginning in verse 20. But ye have an unction, that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, and chapter 3, verse 16. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you, because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. And by the way, anybody that's trying to get you to listen to their words and telling you they hear from God, that's an Antichrist. They're not pointing you to Christ, telling you things like, you don't need me, you need Jesus. Get your nose and your eyes in that Word, and don't you ever let them depart from your eyes. Proverbs 4. You don't need me, you need Jesus. Now you're going to run some folks off like that. Isn't that a shame? Then you're not going to get as much coin in the coffer. That's good. Let them follow Jesus. They don't need to follow you or me. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide or remain in you. That's the Word of God, the Word of the Gospel, which ye have heard from the beginning. It was once delivered to the saints, right? We're to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. If that, he continues, which ye have heard from the beginning, that's the Word of God, shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Notice the condition. You got to continue in the Word of God. Jesus himself said that after people got saved. John 8, 30 through 32. If you, new believers, continue, if it's conditional, you continue in the Word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The true believer is being made freer and freer all the time. Verse 25, he's being set free from anything that binds him, any sin that afflicts him, that tempts him, that causes spots on his garment of the righteousness of Christ. Verse 25, 1 John 2, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Is there a danger of those that seduce you? Well, why would this be in the Bible if there weren't? It's all over the Bible. We saw it in Colossians 2. Now we're seeing it all over 1 John 2. Keep an eye out for this. The warnings of God. And who's he warning about? Them that seduce you. He just mentioned Antichrist. You have the unction of the Holy Ghost in you. You have the Word of God. You don't need any man. That doesn't mean we don't need elders and fellowship. They are ordained of God. We see that all the way through the New Testament and the command to fellowship. But fellowship in Christ doesn't mean going to some building that has the church name over it on Sunday morning. That's usually not real fellowship anyway. The fellowship of the earliest believers before the false prophets entered into the church world was what? The end of Acts 2. They continued steadfastly in four simple things, keeping Jesus exalted the whole time. And it's what? It was the apostles' doctrine, that's the Word of God, fellowship, prayer, and one more. What is it? And breaking of bread. So they did four simple things. Acts 2, verse 42. They broke bread. But the first thing they did is what they kept, priority here, they kept the word of God. They kept in the word. They continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. That's the word of God. And fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And then verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's only the Lord that can add to his church. And he did that partly through the fellowship of the saints who were fellowshipping with Christ and with each other and weren't diverted. The fellowship wasn't poisoned by such as we see today with the modern bureaucracies calling themselves a church. It's anything but pure worship. But the anointing, verse 27, which ye have received of him, abideth in you. The Holy Spirit abides, remains in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. There it is. You don't need some man saying, I'm hearing from God. The Lord showed me. Red flag, red flag, red flag. Taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. Nobody wants to hear what you say subjectively that the Lord told you. Let's see what the word says, because all things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the word. It doesn't matter what comes up. The word of God will govern and will address any situation pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 and 4. It's all in the word. It's the treasure chest of the Holy Scriptures. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. We're going to underline that. But as the same anointing, there's the presence of the Holy Ghost in you, teacheth you all things. Jesus said it was the Holy Spirit that would lead you into all truth, didn't he? John 16, 13 and 14. And 14 verse 26 of the book of John. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. That's 1 John chapter 2. So no man should be allowed to so much as attempt to usurp the headship of Christ, the only one who died for our sins, was buried and raised again from the dead, in our personal lives. Many have been ensnared by such Nicolaitane witchcraft, which Jesus says he hates in Revelation 2, 6, and 15. By the way, that's a fascinating study. Nicolaitane. You can look it up on Safeguard Your Soul. Just put in the word Nico, N-I-C-O, in case you have a problem spelling Nicolaitane. That's a fascinating study. Beware of the beguilers that are all over the professing church, saints. So, by his perfect sacrifice, Jesus granted you, beloved, if you're blood washed, born again, the individual priesthood that he grants to every one of his people. Ye need not that any man teach you. You first and foremost have that individual born-again relationship with Christ and the Father. In fact, 1 John 1, 3 says that. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Word, the Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you don't have real fellowship with other believers. Have you ever had a friendship with somebody you thought was a Christian for years and even decades, and then one day you finally realize, wow, this person isn't even born again. Wow. You assumed it, but the earmarked fruits, as you look back on it, aren't there. In fact, the fruit really is rotten. It's not testifying to a life in Christ. It's testifying to a lost soul. If that person isn't talking about the blood of Jesus, the saving grace of God in Christ, accessed by repentance and faith, given as a free gift where Jesus on the cross said, paid in full, it is finished. If they don't have biblical truth like that coming out of their mouth ever, that person is not born again. Some people want to make Trump look like he's saved. Trump is not saved. Now, I hope by the time you hear this message, he gets saved. I mean, let's face it, God saved a man much more wicked than him. Go look at Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most beautiful pieces of scripture in the Bible, coming from a wicked man whom God humbled, and this man got right. So God can save anybody. By the way, God saved me. So who else can he save? If he saved you or me, he can save anybody. But if the testimony and the fruit isn't there, we shouldn't be trying to make it look like what we want it to be. It's either there or it's not. You shall know them by their fruits. And if somebody's not confessing Jesus Christ out of their own mouth, of their own will and accord, they're not saved. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. You are bought with a price, the very price of the blood of Jesus, friends. to be ultimately led of him and not any other man who's claiming they're hearing from God. This requires the diligent daily study of the Word of God and a life of prayer, not just a prayer life, but to live a life of prayer. Pray without ceasing. This doesn't mean, again, that there aren't elders in the body of Christ or that every saint doesn't need fellowship with other true disciples of Jesus. Yet you are Christ, you are His, and He alone is your commander in chief. You are His ambassador. You are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. There it is, 1 Corinthians 7:23. So we read in Colossians 2 about being aware of those that would spoil you, seduce you, deceive you, beguile you, and it even mentions worshiping of angels. And at the end of the passage in chapter 2, he talks about they don't uphold the head. That's Christ. It becomes about them, not about the nail-scarred, risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. See, every born-again and presently abiding, blood-bought saint of Christ is led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, not some other mere man professing to be a watchman or claiming they're hearing from God or, listen to me, I've got the insight and the intel, or I've got a word, I had a dream, all of this foolishness. Don't you just love when you hear, the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. Dude, that is completely false in most cases. What they're doing is making a fool out of the gullible dupes. Oh, God spoke to him. Listen, you don't need God to speak through some man or woman. You already have him speaking, and it's his pure word without any question between Genesis and Revelation. When you preach on getting in the word, you're going to have a few people, the remnant, believers that are going to want to listen to that and be further established in Christ. But you're going to have a whole lot of people that don't want to hear that. They don't want to seek God for themselves. They don't have time for that. They're too busy loving this world, and the love of the Father is not in them, 1 John 2:15, and lusting after the trinkets of this world. So what are they going to do? They're going to go to somebody, and somebody's going to catch their eyes with these clickbait, well, the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock. You got to hear this word, and all this sensationalism and drama and foolishness, and you're going to have thousands of people. You'll notice the numbers of people that look at like YouTube videos of that kind of garbage. You got to be kidding me. You got a Bible, you got the word, and you're running after somebody telling you they have a word. Listen to me, follow me, make me popular. Wow. The primary way Jesus Christ leads his New Testament church, his people, is not via watchmen. That word doesn't even appear in the New Testament scriptures. I'm not saying there's not some truth to watch over the body of Christ as true elders in prayer and the instruction of the word, etc., equipping of the saints, feeding and nourishing them, etc., but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to bring us to himself. The Holy Ghost Jesus sent to dwell in us. So we're led by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not a watchman, but rather his written word and the Holy Spirit via the cross life, the crucified life, Romans 6-8, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That says it all right there. How are you led on the path that God's got you on? By the word of God. Thy word, the written word, is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. According to Deuteronomy, keep this in mind, 13:1-10, even if a man predicts, prophesies, or dreams something that actually comes to pass, that person is not to be trusted, but God alone is to be trusted. So that if after that correct prophecy that the person had, that accurate prophecy, they teach something contrary to God's word, they are to be, quote, put to death, verse 5, Deuteronomy 13:1-10 is what you'll want to study and harvest the truth there. That's a great warning about not being led of men or finding your identity in listening to any man. He may preach the best message ever this week, but nobody knows if he's going to be on target the next time he speaks. But the Bible's always the perfect will of God and the perfect doctrine of God. We trust in the Lord who gave us that word, and we say with Paul, let God be true and every man a liar, beginning with ourselves. And then he says, verse 4, Deuteronomy 13, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him him and cleave unto him. Now you think God's trying to make a point here? Who are you following, beloved? Do you remember the story of the old prophet as we come for a close here, and the younger prophet, the man of God, both of them, and how the younger prophet was eaten by a lion for his disobedience? This is all in 1 Kings 13. Man, if you just read the scripture references we're giving you in this message, you are going to be stacking up biblical truth. And that's how you discern everything that comes your way in this life. That's how you are led, because the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. That's a great song. Remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's right there. Psalm 119, 105. So read 1 Kings 13 about this younger prophet who was disobedient, and he was given a test. The older prophet told him that the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, told him to tell the young prophet to come eat with him, but it was a disobedience and it diverted him from where God was really wanting him to go, and he was eaten by a lion. Check it out. Being led of another man, even a true prophet, instead of the Lord himself, can and will result in spiritual death and destruction. He was interestingly eaten by a lion. And what are we warned about in 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring, what? Lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. So that would be who the lion that ate the prophet, actually he was a man of God. And obviously he had lapsed, or he wouldn't have diverted from God's will. He would have stayed on the narrow path that leads to life. So who does the lion here in 1 Kings 13 represent? The one that ate the prophet. The man of God. It represents Satan. Notice with one writer says about this passage in 1 Kings 13. He says, having heard of the miracles and the prediction against the altar of Jeroboam, the old prophet pursued the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak, that's an oak tree, and invited him to come home with him and eat bread. When the invitation was refused and the reason given, the old prophet indicated that he was obeying the word of an angel. What does that remind you of? Paul said, though I or an angel from heaven, not hell, come and preach any other gospel. They tell you any other thing than what God told you in his word, let him be accursed. Wow, that's exactly what we see here. The old prophet indicated that he was obeying the word of an angel. God led him to tell this to the younger prophet. The lie was so convincing that the man disobeyed the known man of God, it calls him in this chapter, 1 Kings 13. The man disobeyed the word of the Lord. At the table, the true word of the Lord came to the older prophet, who predicted the younger prophet's destruction for disobedience. Unquote. Another commentary says of this passage in 1 Kings 13, the old prophet is from Bethel and tricks the unnamed prophet from Judah into disobeying God. The old prophet lies about receiving an oracle, a message from God, and the unnamed prophet, the younger one, is killed by a lion as punishment for disobeying God. The old prophet then buries the unnamed prophet in his tomb. Wow. One more before we close. Remember, we're not to enter into the worshiping of angels we read in Colossians 2, verse, I don't know, about 16 through 19. It says that we're not to be involved in the worshiping of angels, like the Catholic Church and all of these supposed apparitions, which are demons. So remember, we've read that in Colossians 2, and the exhortation to uphold, to hold to Christ, who is the only head of our lives and of his body. So of this 1 Kings 13 passage we're talking about with the older and the younger prophet, one writer notes the following. He says, the man of God had been sent from Judah to prophesy against the altar set up in Bethel by Jeroboam. That was the younger prophet before he was eaten. Then he says, when the man of God was to leave, he wasn't to eat with anyone there, he was instructed, and he was to leave another way, go another route. When the elder prophet, have you ever gotten off course? That's what happened here, and it cost him his life. Remember, the Bible says to look not to the left hand or to the right, to remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs 4:27, I believe it is. When an elder prophet approached him after he was told, given specific directions not to eat with anyone and to go a certain route, when a elder prophet approached him and said, an angel had told him to tell the man of God to eat with the old prophet. The man of God believed the message. And then, of course, the man of God would suffer the consequences for believing that message, which was death. Does it pay good dividends to be distracted from exactly where God has you walking, beloved? But why, he continues and finishes, but why did the man of God believe the lie of the older prophet in the first place? Well, that's something you can explore in this passage. Suffice it to say, as we come in for a landing here, saints, that the Bible warns us, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's why as you read through the Gospels, you're going to see Jesus doing great miracles and then retiring into a private place to pray. Why? Because that's when God uses you, that's when you're most vulnerable to pride. And that's when you can be snared. Because pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, this was a lot of biblical information here, saints. Suffice it to say that God would have us to cling to him through his word, walk a life of fasting and prayer, the crucified life, a life of prayer, to pray without ceasing, crying out to him for direction, to order every step, and for discernment, and to hold to the word of God as the final divine authority of your life, so that you're not distracted, you're not diverted, and you're not snared by the enemy. Because we all know, as the scripture says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. And as some old preacher has stated, and many of them have repeated it, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and charge you more than you want to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus for you to circumcise our hearts, O God, and to remove every trace of conceit, deceit, self-idolatry, spiritual adultery, pride, and every tainting of sin from our hearts. Lord, let it be truly said of thee, that we have, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And let it be said, as it was of David, by you, O Lord, that this is a man, a woman, after mine own heart. Lord, cleanse us, destroy all the altars, root out, remove everything that does not belong in our lives, Lord, according to Jeremiah 1:10, and build and plant, furnish us with that which pleases you and lays the foundation for us to walk with you and to be with you. Lord, remove all the stony places in our hearts that came through our own disobedience, our own rebellion and sin, O God, and replace it with a heart of flesh so that we can hear your voice and be so very sensitive to the conviction of your spirit and word, and to walk in thy way all the days of our lives until we're with you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.